I'm filling in for Patty Vasquez here on WGN 720 AM. And we got a lot of news going on, a lot of breaking news. We got calls coming in. I want to get to the calls. I want to hear what people have to say. We have in the studio, though, I want to just introduce, I always do this, Craig. I turn on every mic because I never know what mic is happening.
You have mics 3, 4, and 2 or co-host are in use.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I just pressed them all.
Nailed it. You got it.
Anyway. Hi, you guys. Let's make sure we can hear you all.
Yeah,
okay.
So mic on, so we're good. I have a feeling.
Yeah. I have a feeling you guys are on.
We're taking
okay.
a guess here.
Okay. Good. Good. So we are going to take some calls, and I don't know if our guests will have, you know, have something to say based on what people are saying. But I first want to introduce you guys because I'm so happy to have you in studio. I saw a show last night, and it's a play. So I say show. It could be a number of things. People don't know. I'm an actor as well as a fill-in here at WGN, and I see a lot of theater. And I have to tell you, I saw a show that is so apropos to what is happening in our country. And I saw a show where I haven't cried in a show in a long, long, long time. And I was sobbing during the show. It's called The Hairy Ape. And it's a remount. So I'm here with two of the actors and the director. So why don't you go, the director, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, I'm Monty Cole. I'm the director of The Hairy Ape.
And sir?
Rassel Holt. I'm part of the ensemble.
And Brian Arzell. I'm a part of the ensemble and also a choreographer for the show.
So the show is a remix of an old play. Is that a good way to?
What's kind of interesting about the play and the production is, I mean, it was written so long ago. It's written by Eugene O'Neill,
right?
Which is a one of our really great American playwrights. The play is set in 1921, and what's kind of interesting about the production is that it's normally played. The actors are played by white men. It's a the cast is filled with Irishmen and Italian, I believe, as well. Immigrants, mostly. But we've actually recast it with all black men. And what's interesting to me is I look back at the script and there's not that much that we've changed. In fact, there's some parts of the script that feel like, oh, did you write this for a black man?
That's really interesting because watching the show, so it fits perfectly and it almost fits too perfectly in that the issues that the play is discussing obviously have huge relevancies to what is happening as we speak tonight.
Yeah.
And I want before, because we have callers on the line, I am going to take callers like we said. So let's take a caller. We may need to get you guys headphones. And I'm going to first take Eduardo. Eduardo, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. The police, I think, got caught off guard with this, and they should have been more prepared, especially with the previous cases that happened in the last year. And it is possible that there's agitators here, especially this Black Lives Matter is not somebody who's credible. And I was kind of disappointed that the president is kind of like meeting with them, especially after Ferguson. I kind of wish somebody like Colin Powell was going to be president in next year. But it doesn't look that's going to happen. We have two horrible candidates who really have no interest in, you know, correcting the problems of inner city and all people. I mean, we have a lot of people without jobs.
That's true.
And when you have a bad economy, you can expect crime to be going up.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you so much, Eduardo.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, what I agree with is that when there is a discrepancy between pay and unemployment and crime and stuff like that, there is going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble in this city and there's going to be trouble in this country. Now, do I think, because people, I'm getting texts on my phone saying, well, does that mean, you know, are you inciting violence? Blah, blah. No. What I'm saying is we got trouble. Do I know how to solve it? Absolutely not. Are we going to keep you updated on what's going on? Absolutely. But I hear you. People are angry. People are upset. And I think the thing to admit is And Craig, maybe you could – the thing to admit is we've got a problem.
Yeah,
here.
It's funny. All Eduardo told me before I put him on hold is that he said that he saw some reactions coming and wanted to make sure that police officers moving forward were prepared. And that was it. The rest of the stuff
I mean,
said
people have emotions.
Was new. Yep.
I think what happens is people get carried away with what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna take Tammy's call, and then I'm going to see if we can talk a little bit about the play again. But I think it's important to take these calls. Tammy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, Jen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tammy?
I'm good, just driving home from work. I just was listening about the Dallas shootings. What is that? Is it 4 policemen are dead now?
Yes. Yes. There was a protest that apparently someone or two people, they don't really exactly know, started shooting from an elevated position, and 4 officers have been pronounced dead. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Do you think that's in retaliation for the shootings that happened this week by the police officers and the two guys?
You know what? It very well could be. I know people are angry. So that's what I know about that.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I work at a level 1 trauma center, and we just got 4 traumas in tonight, and they were all gunshot wounds, all young men. Young black men.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes.
I mean, I'm seeing it every night. I work 3 to 11, 3 to 11. And when every night we've been called in on call to treat young black males that have been shot.
Yep. It's a real problem. Like I was saying, it's a real problem. Thank you for your call, Tammy. So back to the play. I mean, it's so interesting to me that we're talking about this play and this stuff is happening in the world. Tell us what this play is about. Someone.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because you're saying back to the play, and like this is the play. The play is about black men that are that feel like they're being squeezed out of existence.
Right.
It feels like basically the play is written about a man named Yank who works in a stokehole of a ship, a transatlantic ocean liner with a group of men. And they all work to keep that ship going. And a woman from the upper class comes down, sees Yank, and calls him a filthy beast. And that triggers Yank into basically try to find this woman across New York to maybe seek revenge, but probably more importantly, just get justice and figure out why she reacted that way.
Right.
And as he goes along his journey, he realizes that maybe this is something that's systemic. Maybe this is something that's bigger than him, bigger than her, and that there's no way for him to live but to fall.
Yeah, it's a and well, you guys can tell me from the actor's point of view, what is this play about? Because usually what happens is if I ask each person has a slightly different take on for them what the play is about. So why don't you tell me?
I mean, it's for me, it's basically about a man trying to find his place in the world and constantly being denied of that place. And even a place that he thinks is his, he's often pushed out of that. Like his workplace is kind of where he's created his own domain. But even there, he realizes he doesn't belong. He has this, Yank definitely throughout the play is always saying, where do I belong?
Right.
Do I belong here? Do I belong here? And he goes through all these different stages and all these places where he's trying to belong. And he's consistently being pushed out, consistently being ignored, consistently not being recognized for his place and who he is. And for me, it's that, I mean, this play is extremely hard to do as a black male and as everything that's going on right now. Even tonight's performance was extra hard because of, in light of everything that's going on, it's like, yes, this is what's happening. Where is our place? Why am I not allowed a place? Why do you keep pushing me out? Why do you keep trying to basically rub me out? You're trying to erase me, but I'm here. And why are you doing this to me without any kind of just cause?
And is this a country that I'm allowed to just exist? Is this a country where I'm allowed to live? And is this, and I mean, Yank starts at the beginning of the play believing that he is the ocean liner. He is New York City. He is this country. He's the best of it all. And by the end of it, he feels like he's nothing at all.
And it's crazy because it totally parallels what just our position in the side. I mean, if we're talking real, you know, this country was built on right. the workforce of the very people that we're trying to rub out.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but wait, like...
I know. It's
what?
A, yeah.
it's such a crazy dynamic that this is happening. And it's like, but like literally we have helped build this. We have created this.
Right.
We're in this with you. We are Americans just as much as you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? We were brought here, yes, but you came here. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, this is our home together.
Right.
How is it more yours than it is mine?
Rossell.
Yeah, no, I mean, all of that. And for me, when I look at the show, I take it back and always try to draw from my own personal experiences. And Yank is a cat that I've seen a lot of people I know growing up who are just like that. In a sense, like, all right, I grew up a lot around athletes and sports and a lot of inner city cats. And a lot of them, you know, they didn't have nothing, you know, to go back home to. And for them, like when we're back on the gridiron, if we're on a basketball court, a lot of them cats, that's what they know. And that's how I look at Yank. Like, this is what he knows down in that ship liner. This is his life. And down there, he's King Kong, basically. And when somebody comes in and tampers with that and makes him feel differently, you know, it changes his whole perception of how he views what he's been doing, how he views himself. And it's this man's journey on finding out where he belongs in the world and, you know, what... You know, how he's been seeing himself and where he actually does fit in, or if everything previous to, you know, the inciting moment was just, you know, a facade that he's created for himself.
I mean, I think the thing that struck me about this play, again, we're talking about the Hairy Ape, which is, and I'll give you the specifics on how you can see it. It is a remount of a show that was done at Oracle, and now it is at Burger Park, part of the Chicago Park District, part of Theater on the Lake, and I'll get to that in a second, but the exact information post-break. But what I took from this play is... people who feel like they don't belong are really in a position of a no-win situation. When we don't feel like we belong, whether it's, you know, for me speaking as a woman, as a Latina, or for that's all who I can speak for, that is a terrible feeling. And I think it is important to look at that, why people, you know, feel they don't belong. And I was a therapist for 5 years, and I worked with a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics. And one of the essential samenesses that I found was they felt they did not belong. And that is a huge problem. Good evening. This is Jen B here, WGN 720 AM. I am filling in for the lovely Patty Vasquez. I'm here tomorrow night, too. What?
Oh, what? You are on fire.
I am on fire. I was just saying that if I run out of the room, it's because I had too much crystallized ginger and my mouth's on fire. That's neither here nor there. Yes, tonight, terrible, terrible news out of Dallas. And we still don't know exactly what is going on. We do know that four police officers were shot and killed. It appears that 10 were shot and 4 were killed. And in protests in Dallas, Rob Martier will be filling us in, and Craig will interrupt at any time. Even if I can't hear you, you just interrupt like you did. It's totally fine.
Tap on the glass. Break through. Get a brick. Yeah.
You know, give me a sec. But in any case, we will be breaking in with all the news. So, and we're here to keep you company. And if you would like to call in, if you're feeling like you want to say something, if you're feeling like you have questions for our actors that are working on this piece that is very apropos to what is going on, the number is 312-981-7200. I am here right now with two cast members and the director of The Hairy Ape, an amazing, amazing play. Go see this play. How can people see this play?
You know what? Okay, so people keep saying, so what's cool about the show is, I mean, a lot of things are cool about the show, but the show ran for 8 weeks at Oracle Theater. And it was sold out for the entire run.
I could not get a ticket.
It sold out before the Trib Review went online. It was great. And then now it's being brought back by Theater on the Lake, which is basically like a best of Chicago theater.
Yes.
And it's 2 weeks. So it's Wednesday through Sunday. 2 weeks. And we had our first show yesterday.
I was there, and it was packed out.
And it was packed out tonight. I was there tonight, too. I was watching it. It'll say it's sold out, but there's a wait list, and we promise we can get you. Can I make that promise?
I can't make that promise.
But you know what? Oh, it's too
90%
late.
Sure.
On the air to millions. All right, millions.
Here, I'll take the blame. Here's the thing. Monty Cole don't use his name. So the play is happening at the Burger Park Cultural Center, which is 6205 North Sheridan Road. You can see it. Here's what I would say. Show up early, wait in line, do whatever you have to do. I posted on Facebook. I don't care if wolves are chasing you and they're evil. And
run towards the theater.
You have the
Rogers Park has a horrible wolves.
Yes. And you have the flu. And your mom said you have to come home. You have to go see this play. It's you can see it tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday of this week. Next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the time, 7:30, and then on Sunday, is it still 7:30?
It's a 2:30 matinee.
2:30, thank you so much. 2:30 matinee. So it'll say it's sold out, so just show up. I would say show up at 6. I know this sounds crazy, but I was there at 6:30 p.m. One, I have no life. And two, I really wanted to get in. So that's what I did.
Even a half hour before. Yeah, I think
Monty's like, don't be like Jen.
No, say 6:30.
And there's a cafe next door.
There's a cafe.
It's literally on the lake. You have the Lake Michigan. You can watch. There's a little patio. You can stand on the
rocks.
All
of this stuff helps. But I'm telling you, go see the play. So I guess my question, I'm going to start with Monty. In terms of directing, tell me about your directing career. Because if I, you never sent me a bio, not to throw you under the bus.
Hashtag shade.
It's okay. Hashtag shade.
The shade is real again.
I do have a playbill. Yeah. Oh, see? Hashtag shade back. But tell me about, you were an actor, yes?
Oh, kind of. Not really. I mean, I went to school for acting, as a lot of people do. And then I transitioned to producing/directing. And really, actually, what happened was I've been meaning to direct for a long time, and I got a job at Victory Gardens as their casting director.
Yes.
And that was a masterclass. I've watched some of the best directors in this country come through that building. And it gave me, when I got into the rehearsal room, it was like I had these skills that
had some tools
that I didn't know I had. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And you decided, how did it come about that you directed this play the first go round? Like, how were you just like, did you pitch it or how did it work?
I reread the play 2 weeks after the death of Eric Garner. Mm. I read it and I was like, I don't know how this play could be done any other way. I don't know. I could not actually imagine it with a white cast. I just didn't know what it looked like, because the play, not only is like the theme so resonant and what it feels like today is black men, but like literally the language sometimes sounds like black men. There are certain parts where you say, "Tell me he's a bloody swine," where it's like clearly British, but yeah. There's so many moments in it that just feel like the way that my family would rib on each other, or it feels like just the way a black man would say something.
Right.
So it was interesting when I was reading it. I think there was actually a moment where I was standing beside my bed. I was like throwing pages onto the floor, and my fiance Alicia, who is sitting right next to me.
Hi, Alicia. She's lovely.
I was like, hold on, let me just read this monologue to you. And it's one of the first monologues in the Stokehold. And I read it as a, as myself, as a black man. And I was like, isn't that crazy? It sounds like what it should be. It sounds like a black man should be saying these words. And it just felt so real, felt so resonant.
And so tell me about how it ended up at Oracle. First of all, Oracle, you guys should know, look it up. It's a theater company that I believe, and I could be mistaken, prides themselves on public access theater. That's so right. There is no charge.
Yeah. There's
zero charge. So people always come to me and say, I have a lot of Latino friends and who say, well, it's not accessible or we don't get it or it's not, you know, I don't know what they say, but the point is you can go and you can see some good theater if you wait in line for, you know, I had to wait in line. Who cares? You show up, you know, but anyway, so how did it end up at Oracle?
Yeah. I ended up pitching the play to, their artistic director and, through, a friend of theirs, a producer of theirs, Taylor Bebot. And then I went to Max Truex, their artistic director at the time. And throughout the whole time, it was like I would say something about the play, but he'd say, "Okay, go on." and you know, days later, he was like, "We really need to do this." And what I love about it so much about it being there is, it's free, and so anyone can see it, and we have these beautiful, diverse audiences, and and like anyone who wanted to see it, can see it.
Yeah, there are no barriers there. I mean, I'll drive you. You need a ride?
Although, I mean, because that first run had so much buzz. I mean, we then went on to we got a lot of great critics reviews coming out. We had we were nominated for 5 Jeff Awards.
So Jeff Awards basically are the Tonys in Chicago.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest, that's what they are. And Harry Ape won, and we'll talk about the stepping that's in the show. But you won how many? You guys?
We won 3 out of 5. So we won Best Actor
for Julian,
Best Step Master, which went to a Breon Arzell who's
sitting
in this
right here,
room right now.
Congratulations!
And it also went to sound design for Jeffrey Levin because our sound design is also really great.
It is beautiful.
Okay,
so you pitched them and they said yes after they said go on.
Yeah, and what's also kind of crazy about the show is it because it's an all black male cast, I mean Oracle at the time had maybe 1 or 2 black actors in their ensemble, and they still said yes, and they took a chance with the play, and they believed in it so much that they just said we have
to
do this.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And now to the actors. Why don't you start? I'm looking at Russell, who's a lovely human being.
Hello.
And why don't you tell me how you – I think – are we at a break time, Craig? Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. So sorry to –
I'll be right back.
Okay. Russell will be right back.
After these messages.
This is – good evening. Still evening here. This is Jen B on WGN 720 AM. I am filling in for the amazing Patty Vasquez. And I'm here with Craig. And I'm here with the cast, 2 members of the cast of the Harry Ape and the director. And Kelsey Hoff is actually in the his house.
Hi
Kelsey.
Hi.
I think your mic's on.
My
is there a mic?
Yeah. Okay.
I pressed the right button.
My diaphragm. Can you sense it?
So resonant.
Thank you.
We should block that out. The diaphragm. Using the anyway. Okay.
So already messed up. Already fired.
And you're breaking stuff. Using no word.
Turn the mic off.
Ladies and gentlemen. It has been a hard night already. As you, Rob Martier said, we've got police officers dead in Dallas after a peaceful protest turned very, very violent. And we will be breaking in with news as we get it. I think WGN, our affiliate, we have people on the ground. We're going to try to get them. They're very busy. And so we're going to keep you updated as we have information. You will have information. The number here to call or text is 312-981-7200. And I am talking with 2 members of the cast and the director of The Harry Ape, a play that is phenomenal and runs for this weekend and next weekend, or basically Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week and tomorrow night and Saturday. I don't even know what day it is.
It's Thursday.
Thank you. So anyway, the point is go see The Harry Ape. So we were talking, Russell, we were talking about your, as an actor, how did you start acting? What drew you to it? And I always say that I'm such a cheese ball, but I'm like, what are your dreams as an actor?
Oh,
what's your dream
gosh.
Role? But start first. How did you get into acting?
Yeah, how did I get into it? It really starts with because my mom told me I couldn't stay home and I needed to go to college. And I was like, sure, mom. And I went and I was like, what is the easiest way to get through this? And I went to a theater class. So that's a fun story, right? And I'm terrible at quitting stuff. So it just I went through it for 4 years. It's like, oh, I guess I have a degree in this now. So I should probably use it.
Breon just gasped so hard that his eyes crossed. Let's just point that out.
I'm just trying to get him back.
So you decided that was something. I mean, are you from Chicago?
No, I grew up in Milwaukee. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, little Chicago.
Well, I like Milwaukee.
No, Milwaukee's dope for sure.
I have a good feeling when I go there. A lot of beer, though. I don't drink, so but there's a lot of beer going on.
It's really good beer too.
The best, probably. But anyway, how long have you been in Chicago?
I just got to Chicago last August, so I'm coming up on that year soon.
You're not doing too bad for yourself, my friend.
Yeah, I'm gonna continue riding the coattails of very popular and talented people and see where that takes me.
Thank you.
So, well, whatever is going on. Your performance is amazing.
It is.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
I rarely gush about theater stuff because even though I am an actor, I have, as Craig knows, I have some issues with actors for various reasons.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
We're the worst.
We deserve it.
No, you guys don't. But your performance was brilliant, and you're a natural, and I hope that you just book, work.
Hint, casting director.
Hint, everybody. Okay. Well, I know some people. One is literally sitting over here. So thank you for that. And would you share with us how you got into acting?
Yeah, I was that little kid that was always performing. I was that one that was like, oh, go on, baby, do that song that you like to do. Like, that was me. I was the little round brown boy that was always like a ball of energy. And then, because I've been acting professionally since I was 14. So, because I started with...
So just a year ago.
Yeah, you know. I know it looks like that. Don't crack, baby. But it's I'm originally from Detroit, and I started out in what is now like a nationally acclaimed theater company, Mosaic Youth Theater, Detroit. And I started out with them, and he gave us Rick Sperling, who was my first director, gave us professional training, and it's something that even now, as I teach acting and dance and all these other things, I use a lot of his philosophies because he treated us as professionals and not as young artists. It was this white Jewish man in the inner city of Detroit teaching all these black kids how to act and sing and treating us as adults and professionals, which made huge marks because so many people that were in there with me are now like on Broadway. There are people in LA. There are people booking pilots and sitcoms. And it just is an attest to what he did. And that really, because before I was going to be a doctor, because my mom's a nurse, my sister's a nurse, like medicine is like in our family. Mm-hmm. And so I just knew that was what I was going to do. But then when I started performing and training, it was like, oh no, like I can't see myself doing anything else but this, because the main thing why I continue to act is because I can be whatever I want to be when I'm on stage. You know what I mean? Who I am, what I believe in, what I look like, for me, is the root of art in theater. Yeah. It should not matter. I'm here to play a role. If I'm here to play Anna Karenina, you accept that I'm here to be Anna Karenina. You know what I mean? It shouldn't matter that I'm a young black male. Yeah. Who cares? I'm an actor. That's what I do. That's my job. So... that's what I love, because you can take people on that journey to be in your world, in your fantasy, and take a break from your everyday. Because one thing that he also embarked on us, we were young, we were teenagers living in Detroit, which is not exactly easy conditions.
Right.
And I was born and raised in the projects and then moved on to the ghetto. And then but it was hard living. But he said, I know it's rough for you all out there. He said, but when you step through these doors, you leave everything at the door. You check it like baggage at the door. Because when you're in here, it's about the work. It's about the art. It's about the craft.
See, I'm going to cry again.
I take that with me to this day. Especially with this show in particular, it's if I didn't do that, there's no way I would make it through the show.
Well, that's the thing I guess I was going to ask you guys the show is very emotional and it is... charged and it is raw, but it is so well put together at the same time, and it looks like regular people who did not have the stamina and the commitment and the drive that you guys would fall apart during the show. I mean, not only is it, and we'll talk about the stepping. So stepping is a huge part of the show. Will you explain to us what that is?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we had this discussion when Monty first brought me onto the project as an actor, and then he put out the call for, like, does anybody know how to do this? And I was like, yeah. just being, like, a choreographer. I'm in the cast. But it right now it's a popular dance movement within black, historically black Greek organizations in colleges. And I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, Delta Upsilon chapter, from Miami University in Ohio. And I was stepmaster of that, of my chapter as well, but we wanted to go back to the roots of the movement because it is set in 1920s. This predates a lot of that, so I wanted to go back to its original art form, which is gumboot dancing, which originated in East Africa, and it's all about it was a way of for griots and people in the village to tell stories and for celebration and just camaraderie amongst men. It will often occur like around campfires and things like that. So I wanted to merge, there's a little bit of the traditional movement as well as the contemporary element in what we do in the show, and it's all used to symbolize work. Because, you saw, it's such a tight, small, black box space, there's no way to actually shovel coal or do these things.
Now we wouldn't want to. I mean, we wouldn't want to. that was the thing that I thought about a lot. I was like, what does work look like with six young black men? And how does that turn into movement? And one of the first things I thought of, like when I actually had to think about that, was step. And I remember I put out the call of like on my Facebook. I was like, hey, does anyone know how to do step? And like, anyone know how to choreograph it? And I remember someone responding like, oh my God, Monty, if this is what I think it's going to be. Oh, yeah. So it takes people back.
It's hard to describe, and I usually can just go see the show
because it's primal. You know, it's primal. It's ancestral. Yeah. It's traditional. And this might blow your mind too. Is that none of these men have? I was the only one that has ever done step before.
Them.
Yeah.
In the show.
So at the bottom line, it's all really cool, but it wasn't in the audition notice. Right. So.
Yeah. How about that?
I think what I would say is if you would like to be transported into a world that is both beautiful and desperate and tragic and amazing, go see this play. Thank you for coming down. I want to do this kind of theater. I want to see this kind of theater. It made me proud to be a member of the Chicago theater community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just really am so hopeful if we keep doing work like this. So this is The Hairy Ape. It's at Burger Park, and that's part of the Chicago Park District. Go online, look at Theater on the Lake. You can also, we'll link it to our page, and we'll have your information there. Yeah. We'll have pictures.
I feel like every time we talk about this play, what's so great about it for me is it doesn't feel like an ad. It doesn't feel like a PSA. It feels like these men and this is us putting our personal self on our stage. This is how we feel things are going down in the country right now. And it's just us putting our heart on the floor. And if you want to see how black men are feeling about the way the country is working right now, go see this play.
Thank you so much. We will be back. This is Jen B on WGN 720 AM.